Welcome to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliott Price. Brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub.
There's a lead pass. In on Bo McDavid. Scores! 3-1 Canada!
Here's the 1-2 pitch from Martinez. Ball hit out into center field. Going back, Marquise Grissom. He's got it! Dennis Martinez has pitched a perfect game.
There's a shot. They score! Duclair! 1-0! 23 seconds in. Canada jumps on top.
Here's the 2-1 pitch. Cordero swings. Base hit. The Expos will win. The Expos will win. Cordero with a base hit to win the ball game in the bottom of the ninth inning.
The drought is over. Drink it in, Canada. World champions.
And now here's your host, Elliott Price.
Hey, it's not like I was hoping to go through another round of PK yay and nay. Hell, it's not like we're going anywhere with this. Regardless of my opinion, the haters will continue to hate and the lovers will always love. Newsflash, my boy Duncan Keith won't be playing in the World Cup, so my concerns run a little deeper than who'll replace him on Team Canada, but okay. Jay Boumeester has been selected to replace him, and of course, the PK Subban argument comes alive. You wonder why NHL GMs don't like this guy. You wonder how the Habs got any GM to take him off their hands, let alone someone as accomplished as Shea Weber in return. In effect, Team Canada traded PK Subban for a declining Jay Boumeester, who couldn't carry PK's jock at this point. Of course, how would he ever give it back to him if he couldn't catch him? For the life of me, I can't figure out what they don't see that I see. But we must also come to the conclusion that this is not going to change anytime soon. Perhaps by the end of his career, the current group of decision makers will be gone. Then the new enlightened group can say, well, we liked him all along, but sadly, he can't make our team. I'm afraid he's too old now.
Can you tell me friend, just exactly to ask? I'll pay you back no matter what the test. You seem really sure about something I don't know. Take that load off, looks like your chest about to blow. Your wasted words already been heard. Are you really God? Yes or no?
Well, there you go. Wasted words already been heard. All you really got is some more. But I needed an opener, and thank you for Team Canada for making that move today. And I'm sure it'll come up again in the next 6 minutes or so. How you doing, Grant?
I'm doing good. We're one day closer to the NFL. The World Cup news, it seems like nothing was talked about. The Olympics ended, and World Cup news has been coming out like crazy ever since. It's showing me kind of how close it is. Yeah. College football's right around the corner.
You know what? I was thinking a couple of minutes ago that here we are, and there is still a Grand Slam event left in tennis, the U.S. Open. So why couldn't golf leave one? I know that, you know, there's the
I get what you're saying.
Why didn't they leave the PGA Championship till after the Olympics? You know, why they got to squeeze it all? I mean, they played two of them in 3 weeks, which is stupid.
Yeah, I didn't like. Well, it was good TV at the time.
But wait a minute. Tennis did that too. But earlier, they played two of their majors in a very short period of time, two of their Grand Slams. What's that? What are you saying, Freddie? You don't have a mic. Be quiet. Or get a mic.
He said they always do.
Sure, you can hear him. You're closer to him.
He is the tennis guru? Connoisseur, I'll call him. You know?
Connoisseur?
He's my tennis consigliere. You know,
I give you consigliere yesterday, and now we're going to use it all the time.
Wow,
it's a very, very potent.
That's what he is for tennis, though. He's probably one of its biggest proponents in the city.
Proponents and protagonists. I'm flipping through
the thesaurus as we speak.
Okay, Rajay, whatever you say. All right, busy show for you tonight because Grant is so excited about the National Football League starting. I decided to start a new segment. It's called Getting NFL Ready. And so voices later on an entire division. And we'll start with the NFC East. We'll hear from the Giants and the Cowboys, Philadelphia and Washington, Odell Beckham Jr., and coaches and quarterbacks and running backs, and we'll take care of a division tonight. How about that? In our NFL countdown, we are down to 11, the last 11 in the National Football League. So the best third. We're finally into very good and heading towards great. And as we've been telling you, our last night before the National Football League season starts, so that would be 2 weeks from today, we will unveil our last three teams. I'm excited. And I tell you what, with voices coming up later after opening faceoff, I've got something I know you'll like. All right? Football again. It's a football kind of night. We'll talk to Darren Gill, the CFL super agent, and we'll also talk with Elias Makos and see what he has coming up tomorrow on the panel on Sportsnet Central, which you can catch at City at 6:30. I don't know what the questions are on opening faceoff. Thank goodness Grant knows. You're listening You're listening to Sportsnet tonight with Elliot Price on CFMB 1280 AM in Montreal.
Tackling the latest headlines and the hottest topics, it's time for the opening faceoff with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson.
We're going to start off with bad news.
Oh, you're here today, Grant.
I don't like starting with bad news.
Okay, well, then why?
But we have to. We started yesterday with Team Canada bad news for World Cup.
Am I going to cry?
I swear this isn't the same question, but, well, you might, but I think you'll be ready for the season, okay. So we'll see. But for the second day in a row,
yes.
Canada's World Cup team has lost a key member.
Yes.
First Jamie Benn,
yes.
Now Duncan Keith.
Yes.
Yesterday I asked you what it means to the team. Look at the two. What's the bigger loss, Duncan Keith or Jamie Benn? They're both great, right? There's no question. They're both great. Jamie Benn, top five player in the world.
You know what? Andrew Berkshire, who we'll have on here tomorrow night, he tweeted out today Canada's next six defensemen. All right, because people have been talking, Sweden lost a significant defenseman.
They lost
Cromwell.
They lost Cromwell.
And they've replaced him with a better defenseman. Unfortunately, Canada lost a defenseman, and we replaced him with not the better defenseman. But our next six defensemen are, you know, so you lost. I understand you lost one of the elite, but we should be fine. So, you know, we lost Jamie Benn. We lost Duncan Keith. We're good. We should still win.
My problem with it, I wish Duncan Keith played right-handed, and then it wouldn't have been a problem,
okay.
Because then you add Subban or Letang to the team.
See, you and I are completely, completely different.
What do you mean?
Because I wish Duncan Keith was 23 years old.
Oh. See, this is I wish he was a Maple Leaf and 23, so that's
all right.
That works. But if he was right-handed, there's no issue, because whichever one of them you take out, no offense to Shea Weber, no offense to Drew Doughty, all these guys, you replace them with Letang or Subban, it really is a 1A, 1B. Jay Bomeister he was there. He was there in Sochi, where I think it's the best defensive performance I've ever seen. The one positive I have for it is now Petrangelo and Bomeister is probably your third line, and I'm okay with that. They play with each other 82 games a year. They played with each other at Sochi on Team Canada in front of Carey Price. I like that part of it. So I'm going to say Jamie Benn still, because he was the duo, right? We had that. These two will play together. You have, 2 weeks to get chemistry?
Yep.
It's tough, right? I mean, and then you have five games. So I think they're both very big losses. But like you said, it's still Team Canada. They'll be fine. And maybe, who knows, maybe Petrangelo Bomeister is like Keith and Seabrook, how we used to send them every time. But it's about time Bomeister stops going. I'm sorry. Like, this is your last chance, bud.
I don't know. Canada won in 72 without Bobby Orr and Bobby Hull. You know?
Fair. But I don't think the rest of the world is where they
Russia.
Are now.
It was just
exactly.
Russia.
So we'll see, but that's there. Today, the Joey Bosa and San Diego Chargers saga took a big turn, as not only was there no progress today, the Chargers actually withdrew the offer they had made previously. What do you think of this move by them, kind of saying, look, you don't want to take our offer, forget it, it's off the table, we're going to offer you even less?
Well, I'll tell you what, after reading Dieter Kurtenbach on the Fox Sports website, great history in the Chargers, this is just another day for them. This is what they've done. Philip Rivers, you go back with Danny and Tomlinson, they've done this to everybody. It's one of the reasons Eli didn't want to sign there. Well, he divested himself from the whole situation. I'm not going. I'm not going to San Diego. And that was the end of it. So they do this all the time. One of the rules that they put in to the last CBA was to make sure that this didn't happen, because it was the Chargers always shortchanging everybody. So they put in a first-year scale because they were the ones that were ruining it. And then they still haven't learned their lesson. Yeah. So they're the idiots, okay? And they're trying to bully a first-year player. That's what I'm getting out of it.
Oh, I agree with you when I say, look, anybody who holds out, I get it. You look like the cheap person. You look like you're being stubborn.
What? You're
but
the guy.
This is your life. This is your life.
No,
right?
I got no problem with guys holding out. Everybody, shut up.
But the team's always obviously. It's the team has their interest. The player has theirs. I get that. I have no problem with it. But Joey Bosa's entire demands.
How many companies in America are going to make more money than the National Football League or the San Diego Chargers this year? Boo hoo hoo! Guy wants another couple of dollars. Shut up and give him his money.
And like you said, the fact that you brought up their past, I like that because Eli Manning said, don't bother drafting me. I'm not playing for you. So they had to make a trade back. They draft Philip Rivers. And then instead of saying, thank you for wanting to come to us, they kind of spit in his face too. Now he gave in. Joey Bosa doesn't. You know what happens if he doesn't play this year? Do you know how it works in the NFL? This isn't like hockey where hockey, you have their rights, right? You can do what Jimmy Vesey did, go to school, wait 4 years, and then come back. In the NFL, you sit out, you go back into the draft next year, and San Diego loses you for nothing.
There you go.
You lose a third overall
pick.
Well, you know
what?
I hope he does it. I would love it.
I wish that it was possible for 31 other teams right now to bid on his services and see what would happen.
Well, that's the thing, right? They're not going to trade him. Now you're going to hold this guy ransom kind of thing. You've pretty much made it a lose-lose situation no matter what.
No kidding. And one of the worst things is that guys that don't go to camp and don't get into the swing of things right away, it throws them off for an entire season.
Oh, 100%. And just so people know, listeners, the whole deal with him, because what you're going to read is the San Diego Chargers, what they wrote and released today was three statements making him look cheap, right? By saying, initial signing bonus is larger than any rookie has gotten in the last two drafts. His issue is not with the initial payment, it's with the fourth year. They also bring up more money in 2016 than every rookie except one, and biggest payment and signing bonus by any Chargers first round pick since 2011. You haven't even picked in the top 10. Of course he's going to get more money than them. He's picked third overall. You thought he was worth it. I just think to me what they did is they're really kind of, like you said it right now, it's an organization picking on a player, and it looks petty to me. It looks like something you'd see between Josh Norman and Odell Beckham, and this is an organization doing it, and I repeat, you are the San Diego Chargers, not the New England Patriots. Act accordingly. I think it's ridiculous. And do you think this is a fair comparison? I don't know why my finger came right at you like that.
Careful, it's got a nail on the end of it.
Lou Lamorello, Austin Matthews, yes. Right? Because that's what the Chargers thing is we've always done it this way. Lou Lamorello has never given a signing bonus. Adam Larson picked in the top five, you get nothing. Austin Matthews came along and said, what? No, I'm taking it. And the Leafs said no, which I understand. What happened when push came to shove? Okay, you're right. You're worth it. Good. You know why? Because you don't sour a relationship before it starts. And I don't think San Diego got the memo because they're doing it like that. And if Joey Bosa has the, for lack of a better word, the balls to do that, I think it'd be pretty interesting to see him go back in the draft next year. He won't, but it'd be interesting. Today is Kobe Bryant Day in LA.
Woo-hoo!
Okay, because of August 24th, 8/24, his two numbers. Can you think of another athlete who, I don't know how many have days right now, whatever it is, right? It's obviously not a big deal. But can you think of another athlete who absolutely deserves a day for them in the city they play for?
They should have a day for them in the city that they play for.
Like any athlete right now that you think...
That's currently playing.
Yeah, or recently retired. I'm saying don't go back super long, but somebody who should have one.
Yeah, I suppose.
You could have said Jeter if you wanted for New York or...
I think Big Poppy in Boston.
Oh, I like that. I like that day. It's a little celebration. I feel like it would be a hell of a celebration, too.
They should go back and give an Peyton Manning in Indianapolis.
Until they shipped him out for luck?
Well, I understand. You know what?
I agree. I get what you're saying. Peyton Manning should still. I'll say this. LeBron James, I know Cleveland looked bad. He brought you a championship. Cleveland has nothing. He brought you a championship. He should have every, forget LeBron James Day. I feel like there should be one every month. Every 23rd, It's LeBron James Day. You don't go to work in Cleveland. You just stay home. You think about what happened until he leaves again.
Well, the good news is that they don't have a leap year on that. There's a leap 4 years on that, right? So for 4 years, they don't have it, and then it kicks up again.
There you go. And the other thing, I don't think they'll be having they have Russell Westbrook Day, by the way. They do have that. You won't be seeing Kevin Durant Day, maybe in Golden State, but they're putting it locally.
Well, you're saying that right now. I mean, LeBron left Cleveland. What if Durant goes back to win
different.
A championship?
It'll never be the same. Right. LeBron was like Cleveland's. Yeah. He came from there. It's different. So I say him. Now this one, if Montreal, and I'm not talking just current, could give any one athlete a day here, who would it be? An interesting day. It doesn't have to be the one who deserves it the most. What would you want to see?
A Montreal athlete that would get a day of his own in this city.
There's a lot of great names.
GSP.
GSP? I like that. I would like that. Hey, he's coming back, by the way. We'll hear
nut.
About that in the update.
Don't do it, George.
I would like to see one, a Patrick Roy and a PK Subban day.
Well, Patrick Roy, March 3rd, he could have his day in Quebec. Yeah,
but 33, so March 3rd and July 6th for 76. I would love to see those days, and everybody just sits and thinks of what could have been, and we all relate to it.
I tell you what, I'm ready to have those days in 2031 and 2076.
That's when you're allowed?
That's right.
Well, I'll give it to them. That'd be there. Do we have any? Before we finish, is there any in Montreal? I know they retire
the
numbers
Rocket
like it's
didn't
going
have
out of,
his day
that's
here.
What I'm saying. I don't think there's any days.
There's no athlete that even is a football field close to the Rocket. And then the next guy's Béliveau.
The Quebec government doesn't give any days to athletes. They don't give out holidays free, I guess. I don't know why it happens, but it seems other cities give them. Like you said, you get your number retired here. That's what you get.
Yeah.
Pretty much everybody, but no days.
Pretty much everybody.
Well, when you have 24 Stanley Cups, you got a lot of I'm not saying that as an insult. That came off wrong. I'm saying eventually there's going to be no numbers if you keep retiring them.
Then they'll just move the team to another city. And that'll be the end of that.
We've been through that before. Right. Can't have that.
You done?
That's it.
The opening face-off with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson. You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson.
The show has a National Football League feel to it tonight. We're closing in on the season and we're getting excited. So it doesn't matter what team you cheer for. I have taken care of it. Okay. You want to hear your team score a touchdown? I don't remember when I put this together, and I listened to it today, and I do believe I heard two teams twice, but that's okay. That's okay. I do believe every single National Football League team is taken care of here. So have a listen. I'm sure there's a touchdown by your team coming up.
Touchdown! Touchdown, Bears! Touchdown, Kansas City! Touchdown, Houston!
Touchdown, San Diego!
And the Ravens have taken the lead!
Touchdown, Raiders!
And touchdown, Jaguars!
Touchdown, Rudy!
Touchdown, Jets!
Touchdown, Seahawks!
Touchdown, Arizona!
Touchdown, Saints!
Touchdown, Dolphins!
The Bills are on the scoreboard! He's into the end zone for a Pittsburgh Steelers touchdown!
Touchdown, Vikings!
Looking for Steve Smith, double coverage. Steve makes a great catch! How does he do it? Oh, wow!
Browns win in overtime!
Touchdown, Giants!
The Titans win the game as Vince Young runs it in!
Touchdown, St. Louis Rams!
Touchdown, Buffalo!
Touchdown, Green Bay Packers!
Touchdown, Atlanta!
Hobbs takes it 93 yards for a Patriot touchdown.
It is caught by Elliott to the 30. Here to the 20, to the 20. Here to the 15, to the 10. So far, 5, 3, 2, 1. Touchdown, Tampa Bay!
He's got a Denver touchdown!
And the Eagles have regained the lead!
Touchdown, Marvin Harrison!
Touchdown, Dallas!
Touchdown, St. Louis Rams!
Touchdown, Detroit Lions!
And the Redskins take the lead!
And the handoff to Tomlinson. Left side, and he will gallop into the end zone. Charger fans are witnesses to history.
Huh? Did you hear your team? Did I leave out the Cowboys?
It's okay. I've heard enough touchdowns for the Cowboys. The problem is going to be this year. A lot of those calls might be against the Cowboys.
How old were you the last time the Cowboys won the Super Bowl?
Young. Definitely young. between 6 and 8, something like that.
Not enough touchdowns, my friend.
Hey, that's
never enough.
Hold on. It's not the offense that's not scoring touchdowns.
I didn't say, like I just said,
half those touchdown calls might also be against the Cowboys this season. So the defense is the problem, is what I'm saying.
I got you. All right. Right around the corner, we'll be hearing from the National Football Conference East, the NFC East, as we get you NFL ready. And one conference at a time. But I thought this one's a little bit different. It speaks to more than just football. Here's Odell Beckham Jr.
It's not so much, you know, just on the field. I think it's just in life. You know, there's a lot of people living life but not really living. You got to enjoy it. I heard in a song one time, you know, you say the moment you stop having fun with it, I'll be done with it. And that's just kind of always been my mentality. You know, I'm not going to come out here and not have fun. So you might as well enjoy it. Whether you're in the weight room, you might as well enjoy it. Whether you're in the meeting room, you might as well get something out of it. So I try and have fun no matter what I'm doing.
Did you write that down? Love what you're doing. I like that.
It's very important.
Odell Beckham Jr. More from him as we check out the NFC East. Meanwhile, Sidney Crosby getting ready for another season. Sidney, a Stanley Cup champion again. He's won cups. He's won junior championships. He's won world championships. He's won Olympic gold last year.
I appreciate winning this year more than any of them because having gone through, the playoff rounds where you're supposed to go pretty far and things didn't work out, and missing hockey for a year, not really being sure how things are gonna work out that way. I think that just I appreciate this one more than I think anything. So. It's not easy to win, and you know, you look at the team we played this year in San Jose, they had a great team.
Yeah, reminds me of Chicago Blackhawks. Bobby Hull and Stan Mikita. When the Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup in 1961, stopping the Canadiens' run of 5 in a row. Mikita were the same age, Hull and Mikita were the same age as Taves and Kane when they won their first Stanley Cup. 2021, what were they? Babies. And he told them, you never know, because Mikita and Hull never won another Stanley Cup. As great as they were, and there was heartbreak along the way, you got to keep your ass in gear. You got to keep it going, because you never know, you may never have another opportunity to enjoy another Stanley Cup. All right, thanks to Daniel Iorio. Here is, what the hell are they, 13. There's some things that eventually you cannot do. I don't care if you think you're superhuman. You can't do them. And so what? Why are you busting your ass? But you can't be hitting on people who you don't know.
Easier than somebody who we know. Still love that. I got to say, I still love that. You ready, Elliot?
I'm ready, Elliot. To talk.
Stay away from him.
No. You know what? Stay away from guys who always fills us up.
That's your problem. You weren't good enough.
I'll bring him in and I'll talk to him and we'll see where he is.
Nothing he does now erases that. This is a guy who's saying that everybody should just get the death penalty. That's it.
They'll say, we're waiting for OJ to get out.
Who is in more trouble right now?
It'll be sorted out, okay? I'm talking during the great work that was done.
This is a serious comment.
Don't think that he can do it anymore. But, I like it. Okay, that's the bottom line. What the f*** are we saying? What the f*** are we saying? Okay, I don't know what that...
I'm loving the intro, by the way.
You like that one?
The intro is great. Lenny Kravitz himself wrote and performed that for us, so that was pretty cool. One of our biggest listeners, actually, so that's cool.
Yeah, you got the email. Fantastic. Yeah. All right, so there you go. Another edition of What the Heck Are They Saying, or whatever it is that Lenny says we're saying. The National Football Conference Eastern Division getting ready for the NFL. Should be fun. We'll hear from a whole bunch of people coming up after Grant's update, which comes to you in just a moment. You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price on CFMB 1280 AM Montreal.
The final buzzer. Two glorious points. You leap from your couch, chest bump the mirror, and go to bed. You call that winning? Ye Olde Orchard Pub begs to differ. Get the game with the energy and excitement it deserves at your friendly neighborhood Ye Olde Orchard Pub. With over 20 beers on tap, over 40 single malts, 6 locations, and a full house of fans like yourself, there's no reason to spend another game night lonely. Now open on Salaberry and Chateauguay. Visit yeoldeorchardpub.com. Or find them on Facebook.
You want your money to grow. You want it to be there when the time comes. Let me tell you about Paramount Financial Services and Lauren Rubin at 514-905-0885. He's taken care of my money for years, and I can worry about other things. Does your financial advisor move your money around constantly to make sure he's making money, whether you do or not? Let's not forget, it's your money. And Paramount Financial Services will take care of what's most important, and that's you. Call them at 514-905-0885. It's your money. Grow it for a better future. Paramount Financial Services.
Are you feeling stressed and lacking energy? Do you hate the gym? Perhaps yoga is not your thing. Learn authentic Tai Chi and Qigong from the very family that created it. Regular practice of Tai Chi reduces high blood pressure, strengthens joints and muscles, improves digestion, blood circulation, and balance, prevents arthritis, boosts the immune system, and greatly reduces stress. The Chenbing Tai Chi Academy is located in the West Island of Montreal. Try a free class. For more information, please visit us at www.cbtac.ca.
Down the drain? That's not usually a positive thing. Unless, of course, that's exactly where you need things to go. What if they don't? Monsieur Drain is your man. He'll do a camera inspection and he'll know exactly what's going on down there. From all types of plumbing, draining, and unblocking to bigger jobs that need excavation. High-pressure jet cleaning. From the master plumber who's seen all there is in 25 years of top-notch service. Call Monsieur Drain at 514-640-0070 or simply head to monsieurdrain.com. Free finance. They'll take your problem from start to finish. Full service, including help with your insurance claim. Monsieur Drain at monsieurdrain.com. Customer service, their number one priority. 514-640-0070. Having a nasty pipe dream? Use your brain. Call Monsieur Drain. Time now for a Sportsnet Tonight Sports Update with Grant Robinson.
For the second day in a row, Canada has gotten some bad news about its World Cup team. Yesterday, they lost former Art Ross winner Jamie Benn. Today, they lost Duncan Keith, the two-time Norris winner. He's recovering from knee surgery in October. So Subban and Letang may be hopeful they'll join. No, it'll be Jay Bouwmeester who will rejoin the team. He, of course, played on the team with Alex Petrangelo, his current teammate. They were a pairing, so look for that to happen. Team Sweden lost their own D-man in Nicholas Cronwall. He will be replaced by Hampus Lindholm of the Ducks. And the Dallas Stars, who already had one of the top offenses in the league, have added another weapon in Jiri Hudler, 1 year, $2 million. In the NFL, Joey Bosa and the San Diego Chargers saga has taken another turn, as the Chargers have not only not given in to Bosa's demands, but they have now withdrawn their initial offer and publicly released all of the negotiations. John Spanos, the president of football ops for the Chargers, called Bosa absolutely asinine for not accepting the contract. So this looks like it'll get uglier before it gets done. And the Browns have been getting interest in Josh Gordon, but have said they have no plans to trade him. U.S. soccer news, they have suspended Hope Solo for conduct that is counter to the organization's principles for 6 months. Obviously, that has to do with their comments made towards Sweden. And in baseball today, the Cubs swept the Padres earlier by winning 6-3. The Cubs are now 36 games over 500 for the first time since 1945. The Blue Jays have Marco Estrada on the mound, but he's been struggling lately. R.A. Dickey's getting it going. Marco Estrada's heading down the other way. Trails 6-0 in the fifth. If he doesn't make it past the next inning, that'll be the last three straight starts that he doesn't make it past five innings. The Red Sox lead 3-2 versus Tampa Bay. Ortiz hit his 30th home run of the season, becoming the oldest player to hit 30 home runs. And the Orioles are up 5-1 versus Washington. So definitely not good news there for the Blue Jays. And finally, in the MLS, the Impact versus DC United. The Impact are currently down 1-0 at halftime.
What a crappy call. Controversial call. Unbelievable. You got to be kidding me.
Gave a penalty kick by DC.
Penalty kick. A guy dove. I don't know. I don't get it. As we mentioned during the Olympics, there is no more devastating penalty, I don't think, in sports than pretty much giving the other team a goal. man, you better be right. If you're hauling someone down in the penalty area and you're giving them a free kick, you're pretty much giving them a goal, which most nights means you're giving them a win. I don't get it. Anyway, that's your sports update.
Price. C'est moi. I'm the guy.
There is not any man like him anywhere in the world.
You're tuned in to Sportsnet tonight. Ding, ding, ding. With Elliot Price.
Elliot Price.
On 1280 AM, Montreal.
Oh, it's a deep burn.
Sportsnet tonight.
Oh.
Elliot Price.
Elliot.
It's on me.
Elliot.
I'm the guy.
All right, welcome to Getting Ready. Getting NFL Ready. And we'll start with the NFC East. Is that usually when the standings are put anywhere? It normally starts with the NFC East, doesn't it?
You mean, okay, the stat? Yeah. I thought you were trying to make a joke at the NFC East, trying to call it.
No.
The NFC East. Let's take a look. I'm going to look on this app right now and see what they say. NFC, NFC East.
There you go.
Then west,
right.
North, south. Yeah, it does do that. Right. So, good call.
As a New York Giant fan, as a Dallas Cowboy fan.
Please don't ever make that mistake again.
I thought I was talking to DK. He's not here yet.
Not yet.
As a Dallas Cowboy fan, can I assume that the three teams you hate the most are the teams in the division with you?
You know what? It depends sometimes because, let's be honest, outside of the Giants' two Super Bowls, when's the last time one of these teams has had a great year? You know, the Cowboys, even the Giants, years they won both of them, they didn't look like a powerhouse. They just got hot at the right time. So the Giants, definitely, they're always a rival. The Redskins honestly don't matter enough lately. It's kind of like the Habs and Leafs, right?
That's going to hurt at the end of this year, I'm sure, now that you've said that.
I said lately. Okay. They could change, right? But the Eagles and Giants, for sure. Yeah. I cannot stand the Eagles and Giants. The Patriots is a team that I think everybody kind of wants to hate in a sense. Yeah. The Seahawks are getting close to that. We'll see. But yes, those two, not a fan.
All right. Let's start with the New York Giants and their great receiver, Odell Beckham Jr., on to his fourth year and ready to make it his best.
I think I've taken steps mentally. You know, I said, as you get older, you learn more, obviously. You've seen more things. You've been in more situations, whether it's success or failures, you know, you learn from them. So it's just taking what I've learned, being able to use that knowledge to better myself.
All right, game three of the preseason, that's the one that's important. That's the one that the regulars play and pretty much the only one that they play. Now, I don't know that Beckham means that preseason games are important, but the preseason?
I think it's important. You know, you never want to go out there and do bad. Obviously, never the goal is... You always want to put your best foot forward, and I think last week was definitely not even close to our best foot forward. It was actually probably the worst performance we could have as a team. So what do? You flush it and you move on from there. You can't get it back. Just keep moving forward. So for us, it's pretty important, you know, to come out and have some successes, you know, not three and out, first down, then three and out. Like, it's important to put some drives together and run good offense.
All right, finally, with the New York Giants, good news for Odell Beckham Jr. and the Giants and their fans. Let's face it, if you're the guy, then everyone's always on your tail, double team and all that. But when you have a Victor Cruz on the field with you, that's a big help, and he was back on the field today.
It felt right. It was a great feeling for me because I know how it feels for him to be back out there. Even a little pass, you know, you catch a pass in a drill, make a move, kind of get your feet back underneath you. You build that confidence up. So that's kind of what he's doing right now. Looking forward to seeing, you know, where he goes from here. And always prayers for, you know, for everyone, but prayers for safety.
This is Sportsnet tonight with Elliot Price in Montreal at CFMB 1280 AM. We are getting NFL ready, starting with the NFC East. Grant, were you happy when they drafted Elliot?
I don't think they needed to because we see what Alfred Morris is doing now behind this O-line. It's great, but having said that, you didn't necessarily need Emmitt Smith with that O-line either. But when you put them together, what happened? I am happy about it because one guy, Joey Bosa or Jalen Ramsey on defense, wasn't going to change the defense. So why not just make your offense one of the best in the league? I think it's a good move, yes.
Elliott's ready to go, and he's excited.
I think I was ready to play last week, but I would say the first preseason game.
Are you behind it all? You think you're behind it all? Did you get enough in mini camp in the first couple weeks of training camp?
I think I'm good. I think I've done a good job, you know, getting my mental reps while I was out. you know, finally getting back and kind of getting to the groove. I think I'm ready.
What's been the biggest adjustment for you as you've gone through this process?
Just probably the speed of the game. Just you have to really be on top of your game mentally, so you can play fast.
So not having those reps, being just mental reps, how difficult will it be for you to get back into that speed of the game?
You know, just from practice, you know, past practices I've had, you know, I don't feel like I've missed a beat, so you know, I feel ready.
All right, he feels ready. Ezekiel Elliott, ready to go. And game three is the game where all the regulars go. They play together, and you see what you have. Meanwhile, a guy that's not a regular has been playing very well. Who in heaven's name is Dak Prescott?
Plays I call, they know the plays that I feel real comfortable with. They know the plays that my feet can help me with, certain things like that. That just allows me to go out there and play free. Everywhere. I mean, from calling the plays in the huddle to footwork on certain things, certain handoff plays. I'm still a rookie. I still got a lot to go in this league, so I'm continuing just to work every day at practice. My mindset is, I mean, like I said before, I want to be a starter of this organization one day and a starter in this league for a long time, so I'm going to continue to push myself and make myself as best I can each and every day. Calls the shots. I'm just coming in, like I said, to improve myself each and every day, and I think if I put my best effort out there, it'll say for itself.
Dak Prescott, who's been lighting it up in the preseason. I mean, Dallas was looking for a backup quarterback, and this guy came out of nowhere.
I think that's the most important thing for this team right now. It's Tony Romo, hear me out here, is the Carey Price of that team. He goes down. They were 3-0 or 2-0. They can't win a game. You know, it's and he's playing good. If just the knowing you have him back there, maybe you're not afraid of getting Romo hurt. I think it's huge.
All right. Getting NFL ready, moves on to Washington. Coach Jay Gruden, he knows. Game three, preseason, big.
That's a great opportunity for him. I think the big thing is just getting themselves mentally ready to play, coming out of the locker room, see what kind of stamina they have to play more than four or five plays. You know, it's a grind. You know, I like to see defense out there seven, eight plays in a row. You know, offense try to get a drive together where they're out there seven or eight plays in a row, see where we are stamina-wise. You know, the results are what they are, but the big thing is to try to get in a rhythm, both sides of the ball, work on our communication. The whole entire scheme of things is going to be important just for getting some confidence going into the first regular season game.
I got to tell you, at least two of us, maybe a third, screamed it at least once. But there was a time where we walked around for days going, you like that? Kirk Cousins.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. And he was nothing then.
Right.
He helped himself out, but I loved it.
He has thrown only five preseason passes so far. Of course, he is 5 for 5.
I feel like I've thrown a lot more than five passes because of how many reps I'm getting every day in practice. And as a starting quarterback, I'm getting a lot of reps, so much more than I would have as a backup quarterback. So I feel very ready. And then more importantly, probably is the fact that we have this entire week to get ready like a normal rhythm to a game week. So those two things, I think, it gets you about as prepared as you can. Yeah, I think it's the same answers I've been saying for most of the preseason. We want to be sharp. We want to stay healthy. We just want to move the football, convert third downs, you know, stay on the field and score points. And that really never changes, whether it's the preseason, whether it's a practice session of moving the football, or whether it's a real game in the regular season. We want to do the same things whenever we're out there. We truly have that 1 week to turn around and be ready to go for the next game. So it's a good simulation of our normal rhythm during the regular season. And like you said, the preparation may not be quite as extensive from a game planning standpoint, but the rhythm is there.
There you go. Kirk Cousins, quarterback. The Washington football team. The amazing thing about the National Football League and living in a city like Montreal is that, guaranteed, if you search hard enough, you would find at least one fan from every single National Football League team. So the Philadelphia Eagles for Phil Considine, the golf pro at Windmill Heights Golf Club, Philadelphia Eagles. Here's the coach. And so far, he likes what he's seen from his defensive line. They've been creating some turnovers.
It really, takeaways can start with your defensive line and the pressure we've put on these quarterbacks and the quick pressure that we've put on with our defensive line can cause these interceptions. And then the guys are just making great plays too. You know, balls are legit catchable balls, and our guys are in position to make plays, and they're doing it. I've been real excited to watch our guys, you know, these last couple of weeks. I mean, 9 turnovers in the 2 games is pretty good.
And, of course, quarterback is Sam Bradford. And we think what about Sam Bradford? I mean, here's a former number one overall pick that has been ravaged by injury And I don't think we have any idea what he's capable of doing still.
Well, last year he was the best quarterback in the division. I don't know if you remember that from when we played those clips. I've never been a fan. I think he's highly overrated, and he's running out of excuses right now.
Yeah, so. I think for me, you know, talking to the guys, you know, I think I just wanted to see our communication at the line of scrimmage. I wanted to see our tempo in and out of the huddle. I thought those were both really good tonight. And I think it was more about that than it was, you know, coming out and being flashy and doing that. But, you know, with that being said, you know, you would like to score points more than we did tonight.
So there you go, NFC East. That's where we start. What and in the order of the standings that you have, what comes up next? Makes no sense. You said NFC East, NFC West.
It goes
West
east
should come
and
last.
But East, maybe they're going with East and West is the counterpart,
like,
and then North and South.
No, there's something very wrong with your standings. What are you looking at over there? I'm concerned now. Now,
well,
I'm worried about...
You're at NFL.com?
Okay, I'm going to go with ESPN, and they're going to go... NFC East, North, South, West. That's how it should be. It always looks like that, although they did start with the AFC, and someone should talk to these people. But A does come before N, so I'll give them that. But NFC East, NFC North,
so by alphabetical.
NFC South, NFC West. It's not by alphabetical, it's by geographical.
Well, to me, then it should start at North if we're going geographical.
Yeah, but,
now I'm getting technical.
No.
I'm getting technical.
No, because they're called North, okay? But they're really Midwest, right? Baltimore, Cincinnati,
fair,
Cleveland,
fair.
Pittsburgh. They're all, that's Midwest. New England, New York, Buffalo, Miami, that's East. Don't make me come over there.
It's not far.
Okay, Chicago, Detroit, Midwest, Minnesota, Midwest, okay?
East, North, Southwest, okay. NFL.com is that as well.
So we're okay now.
So you're fine, yeah.
So tomorrow we should, what? I need an official. Do we go AFC East or do we go NFC North?
I think that's intriguing. I think go AFC East.
Yeah,
one of each. You know what I mean?
All right,
switch it up.
Tomorrow we'll check in with the New England Patriots, the New York Jets, the Buffalo Bills, and the Miami Dolphins because Grant said so.
That's how executive decisions are made.
Right.
By the
way, it's my consigliere. You know, gotta. You know, who needs trouble? All right, we are one. Coming up, Elias Makos, he'll tell us what's going on tomorrow on the panel on Sportsnet Central, which comes your way 6:30 on City. Eli, next.
You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson.
Elias Makos will be joining us in just a moment. We'll find out what's going on the panel tomorrow. I love this. Headline from Deadspin. You know, we haven't mentioned, but... U.S. Soccer has suspended Hope Solo for 6 months, right? She was the one. She called them cowards.
Wait till you see what she calls U.S., the national team now after this.
But I love the Deadspin headline. Haven't read the story. Okay, I'm just seeing the headline right now. And it says, as it should.
Hi, Elias.
Okay. U.S. Soccer is done with Hope Solo now that it doesn't need her anymore.
Elias, you'll be on in just a minute.
It's fair. It's true.
And...
it's true. What's six She's months when it's not during the Olympics?
Old, yeah. Okay, and 4 years from now, when it's time for the Americans to go back to the Olympics, she'll be 39. She'll be too old, and so. But that's sports, right? They don't care for the most part, and things have changed a little bit over the last couple of years. But forever and ever, they really haven't cared what you've done, as long as you can help them, right? So. That's, you know, now, that's you true. Know, you get a little domestic abuse and they'll punish you. It used to be swept under the rug.
If Ray Rice is 23 and a pro bowler, He's still playing, right? I get what you're saying.
If Ray Rice was 20 years ago, no problem. No one would have known about it. Anyway. Elias Makos, how are you?
I'm doing well. Are we all overjoyed over this Hope Solo news? Is that what's happening right now?
No, I mean, you know, as the headline says in Deadspin, now that she's no use to the American program anymore, they've suspended her. They don't need her now, so now we can take care of her.
Yeah. That's true, right? The timing is it's perfect timing if you don't have to play any soccer anytime soon.
All right, go figure. Just when you think that PK Subban conversation has come to a close, no, that's not the case. And so Canada loses a defenseman, one of their best, in Duncan Keith, and they replace him with Jay Bouwmeester, and now the PK Subban fire is ablaze once more.
Well, you know, I mean, can you argue with Mike Babcock? I mean, this is a guy that knows what he's doing. So you know, if he is so adamant about sticking to a guy who shoots from a specific side and that's what he wants, well, okay, I guess that's what he's going to go with. But as long as you have guys going down or guys being replaced, and then you have an opportunity to add PK Subban to that roster, and it doesn't happen, that's what we'll talk about. Hey, I would love to see him there. Who wouldn't? I think, you know, we all want an exciting tournament. We want to have 2 weeks of thrills, and we want PK there. So I get why everyone's up in arms, but you know what? Mike Babcock can do what he wants with his team, right?
Absolutely.
And we'll get to complain if the team doesn't do well. But you know, I think we all know Canada has a real, they have the best roster going into this tournament, right? So what's going to stop them?
Nothing. I even think they have better defensemen than Bouwmeester, not named PK Subban.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. What's on the show tomorrow?
Well, we will be talking a little bit of Montreal Impact as well, because you know they had a rough time against Chicago. Now they're playing DC tonight, so we'll talk a little bit of Impact. We will talk about we're definitely going to talk about the removing the no excuses sign from the Canadiens locker room. We'll talk about if changing the decor will have an effect on the team this year. And we got an interview with Rosalie Filion and Megan Benfito from Team Canada. They returned back home. They returned back home yesterday to Pierre Elliott Trudeau Airport. And really, really funny stuff, because Megan Benfito's dad was at the airport. And, you know, we asked him about, you know, his you know, what he felt about the Olympics and his feelings. And this is a guy that doesn't fly very well, and he had to, you know, he made it down to Rio for these Olympics, and that was tough enough on him. And you know, they want to go back. They want to go back to the Olympics in 2020 to Tokyo, and he had just such a hilarious comment about how he's basically going to have to be drugged in order to go see his daughter compete in Tokyo at 2020. Because he does not want to go back onto a plane. So we're going to talk to them, and you know, we'll talk about everything else that's going on in sports.
Elias, what you do every week is kind of like opening Faceoff, in the sense that you pick the biggest topics of the week to discuss, and that could be tough sometimes in the summer with
what are you
going to
ask him for subjects
season.
For tomorrow? You run
no,
out?
No, okay, but I'm saying is this summer, I mean, it's been a gift that keeps on giving. Euro Cup, the PK Subban trade, the Olympics, the World Cup of Hockey coming up. I mean, sports summers usually don't give this much, do they?
You know, I don't know how it is with you, but I always find that the problem is finding having too many topics. Mm-hmm. You know, the problem is having, you know, 12 topics, but only time for six, you know, especially, you know, on a weekly basis. But yeah, this summer's been incredible. I mean, the PK Subban thing alone was fodder for, and it just keeps coming back. You know, it just seemed every time that you'd be like, okay, and it's enough of PK. He'd come back for a comedy show. You know, so this summer has been a joy to talk about and to cover. But you know, now with hockey coming back and the World Cup of hockey. It's the problem is finding what gets the cut, especially in an Olympic year.
The only way that this could have been better is if Ryan Lochte had been a Montreal Canadian. That unbelievable. I mean, this guy and how this unfolded, because I don't think that a lot of people quite understand how this story came to light. Right. I mean, here's a guy and whatever happened, right. He told his mom about it. And she's sitting next to a reporter on a bus somewhere, and she tells him, and this is where this catches fire, or else it never hears the light of day.
And we're aware that he's going to be on Dancing with the Stars. Is this you're up to date on that one?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so he's going to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh man.
Yes. So this is I mean, listen, he's lost he's lost a ton of endorsement deals, but you know that his agent and. They've been scrambling, which is why they did those two interviews, one in English, one in Spanish, over the weekend, and this is so he's a smart guy. He's a very very smart guy, even though he's an idiot. But his agent is a smart guy, and America has a very short attention span and a short memory. So as much as this is going to be a big deal. Now and in a couple of months, I wouldn't be surprised if he's recovered, his image is recovered, and he's back on track.
OJ's still in jail, right? I'm just checking. All right.
Yeah.
Hey, look, when you're talking Impact, voice my displeasure about how ridiculous the penalty is that allows a team a goal and a game. If you're not sure if there was a real penalty on the play, I got to tell you, I'm not good with it. The biggest penalty in sports, I think.
Well, when was it? It was last week talked about
right.
The real question is, listen, refereeing and umpiring sucks in every sport, right? You know, like no matter what, you're going to complain about the refereeing. The question is the level of officiating in the MLS so much worse than other leagues, or is it at a next level, or is it just run of the mill bad officiating?
The problem,
but I think the MLS has a bigger issue, right? The officiating is really bad. I mean, in the same way that we can complain about CFL officiating, there is a next level. And listen, a lot of it comes down to what you're going to pay these guys. You know, like if you look at the salaries that an NBA official, an MLB official, or a National Hockey League official makes, well, they're making good money. And then if you look at the leagues where they have to skimp somewhere, and the CFL and MLS and even the NFL, they skimp when it comes to that stuff, and they've had some issues in the past few years over that. That's where you have bad officiating.
Thank you, Eli.
Thank you, Elliot. You have a great night.
First lyrics of the song were "The Village Idiot," Ryan Lochte. But he's going to be on Dancing with the Stars. I had no idea. How is that the next step? Only in America, right? Which is, was that the title of the OJ thing? Only in America. Only in America, really? Or that's Don King? I don't know. But he was right. Only in America. The guy goes from that to that to that because it's the next logical step. Follow the numbers and dots, right? 1, 2, 3. Right. That's the next one. You got to be kidding me. All right. The next one. We'll find out the next one. We're down to team number 11 in our NFL countdown with Daniel Kalis. That's coming up as we continue on Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price on CFMB 1280 in Montreal. Grant's update next.
Price.
I'm supposed to be the franchise player.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
I never slice.
Come on, Elliot.
I meant to do that.
I'm farting your general direction.
Elliot.
Price.
Yo, Rocket!
You're tuned in to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price.
C'est moi ici qui est responsable.
Here on 1280 AM, Montreal.
It's understanding that makes it possible for people like us to tolerate a person like yourself.
Price! You know, Elliot, you were right.
It's not a lie if you believe it.
Of course I was right. So here we go. We're down. We're going to be down to our top 10 starting tomorrow night. So team number 11, we welcome in our football expert, Dan Kalis. And team number 11 is...
the Denver Broncos.
The Denver Broncos. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a winner in the AFC West. You've lost your mind, Daniel.
I might have, but I think this could be the year for your team.
All right. So we were looking at it, and before we start talking about the Denver Broncos, we're just trying to nail down which teams that we have so far that you have as division winners. We have the Carolina Panthers in the NFC South. We've got your New York Giants, interesting, in the NFC East. We have the Oakland Raiders, the Houston Texans, and I believe the New England Patriots.
So that is correct.
Let's talk about the Denver Broncos. What has changed from a Super Bowl champion that moves them all the way to number 11 and behind the Oakland Raiders in their own division?
The biggest change, obviously, is at quarterback. They don't have Peyton Manning or Brock Osweiler. They're mixing and matching with either Mark Sanchez, second-year man Trevor Siemian, or first-round pick Paxton Lynch. It seems it's still an open race. There are changes each day. This week, Simeon's going to get the start in preseason game number 3, which is the important one. We don't know much about him. He played at Northwestern. He played one play last year, and it was a kneel down. They like his arm. They like that he seems to be soaking up the offense, but he's still young, and, you know, young guys often make mistakes. So they're trying to measure between that or the, you know, wily veteran Sanchez.
Look, I agree with you. The Broncos will take a drop. I don't think they're the Super Bowl favorites by any means, but the whole counting them out because of the QB situation, it's not just you. It's everywhere. I find that wrong. Look, Peyton in the playoffs, 55% completion, 2 touchdowns in 3 games, and under 180 yards a game. And in the regular season, 9 touchdowns, 17 interceptions. Yet they went 12-4 and beat Pittsburgh, New England, and Carolina in the playoffs. I mean, this defense was, I'll even say, great enough to overcome awful quarterback play. What do you think changes that this season? Like, will that defense not be as good?
I don't disagree with you at all. That's why I still have them sort of as a playoff team. They're a wild card team, and I think they're fighting with the Raiders for that division. Like you said, the quarterback play wasn't good last year. They had more interceptions than they did touchdown passes, so as long as whoever plays quarterback can do that, they should be good. But they did lose some guys on defense. Their O-line is basically brand new, which is takes time to, you know, become a cohesive unit. The other thing is that even though Peyton Manning wasn't good, he's still Peyton Manning, and people are always worried that he might come up with a play here or there. I don't think defenses are thinking that when they see Sanchez or Siemian.
And the audibles at the line. I'll agree, the audibles at the line does change a lot. You know, he probably puts them into better running plays than a rookie would. But look, sticking with that, obviously the QB is a question mark. The running back's going to be key to this with a quarterback that's, you know, going to be a rookie or Mark Sanchez, which might be worse, and a new O-line. Who do you think, does C.J. Anderson have enough to get this team ahead? Is it Devontae Booker? Who's going to be carrying the ball for this team by the end of the year?
Well, I think that the main guy, and especially going into the season, is going to be C.J. Anderson, because they obviously think highly enough of him to match the offer that the Dolphins gave him. So I think they're going to go with him. I think he showed down the stretch last year that he can be counted on, that he can be a guy you can use to get the tough yardage when you need to get a first down and to get in the end zone. I know they like Booker, which is good. The more running backs you have, you keep pressure. You know, throws different looks at a defense and keeps everyone fresh and just makes the offense a little bit more potent. I think what's going to keep them in all the games is going to be the defense being what it was, because it is a dominant defense. It's arguably the best defense in the NFL. And if the running game holds up, then the quarterback just has to not make mistakes.
So why did they end up? I mean, here's a Super Bowl champion. Who did they look at? What were the possibilities of the quarterback position that, what, Mark Sanchez is the best that they can do?
Mark Sanchez was, I know they talked to Fitzpatrick, they looked at the Colin Kaepernick. There just wasn't anything big. I mean, you know, Brian Hoyer switched teams. There really wasn't much out there. I think they really liked Paxton Lynch. And I think the fact that they were able to win a Super Bowl with, as we've discussed, bad quarterback play, I think pushed them to say, look, we're not willing to pay Brock Osweiler what he wants. They have a max of what they're willing to pay, and they weren't going to break that for a quarterback that maybe they weren't even 100% sure of what he can do. So they draft the young guy. He's cheaper right now, and they can develop him. And the way things are going is he could be playing sooner than we think.
Looking at these receivers, look, Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders have put up some monster numbers. Now, that was with Peyton Manning and when that offense was there. Do you still see this being kind of an elite wide receiver group? Even Cody Latimer maybe hasn't shown it yet, but has some talent. Do you put them up there as receivers?
Oh, I still think so, because Demaryius Thomas started to come on and put up numbers when he was young with Tebow at the end of that year. And last year, he had over 100 catches and 1,300 yards, the quietest 100 catches and 13 yards we've seen in a long time. Even bad quarterbacks are going to throw for a couple thousand yards, and the receivers are good receivers. I think Demaryius Thomas had a bunch of drops last year, and I think he's going to work on that. Sanders is out there looking for a contract, so he's going to be balling out. And like you said, they got Latimer. They have another young kid, Fowler. The tight ends aren't great, so I don't think they're going to steal from the receivers. I still think, you know, maybe they take a bit of a drop off, but I still think they're going to be making plays down the field, getting first downs when you need to, scoring touchdowns. I think these receivers are going to help out the young quarterbacks.
All right, I'm confused with the Denver Broncos and why they ended up in this situation. I mean, if you have a defense that's capable of winning another Super Bowl, it seems to me you needed to do more work to bring in a better quarterback. You have a quarterback, you have a division winner, and you have a team capable of winning another Super Bowl. It makes no sense at all.
I agree. You know, like, you can always say, like, oh, you think you're going to be a dynasty, you're great for a while, but when you're good now, you got to put the right team on the field. And, you know, just because they were able to do it with that patchwork quarterback last year, I would not be going into the season with you know, Mark Sanchez, Simeon, who's never really played, and another rookie. They need to get someone better, but the problem is I don't know how much what there was out there. And I think that it's possible that they're going to regret this if Simeon and Sanchez are both a bust, which could be the problem. That's why they're really going to try to rely on the running game, which Kubiak likes more. But I'm with you, Elliot. I think it's a weird move to not try to get someone you think is a little bit more trustworthy.
Now, I know you already talked about the defense in a sense, but they did lose, you had mentioned it, Malik Jackson, Danny Trevathan. Do you think this is more of a system where it's using the three great DBs, you know, Miller and Ware off the edge, and it doesn't really matter who's in between there, or are they really going to suffer from those losses?
Look, I think every time you have a good championship team, whether it's built on defense or offense, you see it with Seattle, they lose guys each year. Back in the day, the Cowboys used to lose guys every year from their defense. They're very good, these teams, because they have the depth, because they don't drop off when a guy comes in for rotation. So I think what's going to happen is if they get any major injuries, that's where you're going to see it hurt. Going into the season, I don't see much of a drop-off. I think they had some young guys they've drafted over the last couple of years that are ready to step up. They can roll out three corners that can cover anyone. So that means that, you know, they can take a linebacker off the field. I think this defense, if healthy, is still going to be dominant. Wade Phillips is one of the best defensive coordinators over the last 20 years. And healthy, I don't think they're going to have much of a drop-off at all.
Daniel Kalis handles the National Football League for Sportsnet tonight with Elliot Price. The biggest story of the day, again, the San Diego Chargers can't get together with their number one draft choice. This has happened so many times over the years. Now it's Joey Bosa that's holding out. Why are the Chargers so damn cheap, and why are they trying to embarrass this kid?
I can't figure this story out, because I don't know why they're trying to play this hardball with him when they need him. They drafted him that high. They want him. And I also don't get why seems that he's also being a bit of a hardhead on this, because there are other guys who've taken deferrals in their contract and the offset language. One I know, Ed Werder tweeted out, but Ezekiel is doing the exact same thing. So you would hope that they can meet in the middle. But now it seems they're pulling offers, and it seems that both sides are pulling apart, and this seems like it could get ugly. Hopefully that's just a lot of posturing and they can get him. time. But at this point, a rookie like this missing all this camp, I don't even know if he signed tomorrow if he'd be able to play week one.
All right, Daniel. Top 10 begins tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
All right, there you go. Team number 11. We've done the Browns, the Niners, the Titans, the Ravens, the Lions, the Bucks, the Chargers, the Rams, the Falcons, the Bears, the Dolphins, Washington, Eagles, and Saints, Cowboys, Bills, Jets, Colts, Jaguars, Texans, Kansas City, and now the defending Super Bowl champion Denver Broncos have fallen to team number 11. That should be fun. So 10-9. We'll finish off this week. Next week we'll go from 8-4, and that'll leave us with our final three, which we will do all on one night, Wednesday, September 7th. It's the night before the National Football League opens up, and we will get to our National Football League fantasy pool, prizes and all, and get our listeners involved. Should set it up over the next couple of days, and then we'll send invites and have you come in, and we'll tell you what the prizes are and all that. By the way, the Impact tied it up. They are now 1-1 with DC United. Hassan Kamara scoring the goal. Nice play by Marco Donadell as he stopped it, took a shot, and it was headed in by Kamara. And so the Impact are 1-1, 85th. Minute and time winding down on this one. A gift goal on a penalty for DC early on, and finally the Impact get their goal back. All right, talk some baseball coming up, and then we'll have the CFL super agent. We'll talk to Darren Gill before the night is out.
Sportsnet Tonight with your host, Elliot Price, only on 1280 AM, Montreal.
Ask my man, Daniel Iorio, Elliot Price, and Grant Robinson here on a Wednesday night, midweek. What are we, waiting on hockey season? What are we doing, Grant? Waiting on the National Football League?
Football kind first.
Are we in a holding pattern now after the Olympics?
It's very soon. Think about it. Football is so... But you're right. This is the first kind of dead time, yeah. But... And, with the World Cup coming up. Here?
August 24th. So we're heading into the Major League Baseball, September. Once you get into September, yeah. you're into the stretch run. And what a race in the American League. It's certainly, and obviously, it's very easy to fall off. And if you do that, I mean, you got the Tigers, the Mariners, the Houston Astros, the Kansas City Royals. All of a sudden, they're on your tail. But right now, the Blue Jays, going into tonight's action, the Blue Jays and the Red Sox in a first-place tie with the Orioles 2 games back, and right now they would all make the playoffs. Orioles beating Washington 5-2. The Angels on top of the Blue Jays, and the Red Sox hanging on against Tampa Bay. If everything stays that way, then the Red Sox would have a one-game lead, and the Orioles would be two games back, and the Blue Jays would be a game
right
back.
In the middle.
But it's the Orioles that have the second wild card right now. That's who everybody's chasing. They're chasing the two wild cards, which are in the American League East right now. So they have 69 wins, the Orioles, as a second wild card. But 67 for Seattle, 66 for the Astros, 66 for the Tigers, 65 for Kansas City. And you know what? The Yankees have 65 wins. So crazy, crazy here. We're not even in September, and it should get very interesting. And it's amazing the panic that comes with being in a pennant race. So all of a sudden, you mentioned Marco Estrada has had three straight starts where things are not going his way. Man, unless you are Madison Bumgarner, unless you are Clayton Kershaw, it's going to happen to you. If it happens at the beginning of the season and you're an older guy, then everyone thinks you're done. Right? It reminds me of Craig Nettles when he played with the Expos, and he says, you know, right now, I have a different nickname every year. My name is no longer Craig Nettles. Every year it changes. Last year, I was the 39-year-old Craig Nettles. And this year, I'm the 40-year-old Craig Nettles. Because once you hit a certain age, that's how they look at you. They expect you to fall off any minute.
It's like the running backs in the NFL at 30, I guess. But you're right, and I think it's this race is scaring me. I'm looking at the race, and it's so tight. It's been, what, 4 weeks of this now? Where it's these three teams are just, they're winning enough that it's so hard to gain ground. I don't think people understand. One game doesn't seem like much, but you could go win 9 of your next 10 and still be one game back, right? So first things first for the Blue Jays, get healthy. Get Batista back in the lineup. Get Travis back in there. They just got Tulowitzki back. Donaldson's playing well. Russell Martin's starting to hit.
He's been a beast. The thing about the Blue Jays is that you like is that they're not a win six in a row team. They're a win two, lose one. Win two, lose one. Win two, lose one. That is, win the series, move on. Mm-hmm. You're not going to win every game. And you get into the consistency of not getting down after a loss. It's 162 games, and it's tough for fans, the up and down, but there shouldn't be for the teams. There shouldn't be an up and down. And you know what? You could still acquire players, right? The problem is that you're running out of time for them to be available. So all these players are passing through the waiver wire right now. And once they pass through waivers, then you can acquire them after the trade deadline. However, you must acquire them before August 31st, or they are not postseason eligible. So teams have 7 days now to, and there's been rustling, there's been rumors.
The Joey Votto,
to Toronto, that'd be so cool.
If you can add him after the trade deadline, that is great.
I think he's passed through waivers.
Well,
so
that's what they said, and because of his contract, I guess, right? That people didn't pick him up, and they have to agree in baseball, right?
You pass him through waivers. No one's picking him up right now. And by the way, the waivers are revocable.
Yeah, right? You could see who takes
him. But then you can't pass him through waivers again.
But that's right? How the trades work, right?
Because so if the Cincinnati Reds put Joey Votto through waivers and a team claimed him, the Reds can pull back the waiver, or they can let him go to that team, right? They can try to work out a trade. Try to get something for him, but that doesn't happen. They pull back waivers, but you can't put them on waivers again. And so that way you'll never get the trade done.
So let's just say the Blue Jays and the Reds come to an agreement.
Yes.
They say, we're going to put him on, you're going to claim him?
Yes.
If you're...
No, to claim it, it's done. He's through. Now they can trade him.
Okay, so they could just claim him right away.
Right. Because they put him on waivers, nobody claimed him, you can now trade him.
But if the Red Sox get wind of this,
it's too late now.
And know the Blue Jays are going to do it, can they do it before and then block the Blue Jays?
No. Now there's no more waivers.
Okay, perfect.
Once the player is put on waivers and he passes through, and these names, they come at you at this time of the year. There's hundreds of names that come at you at once. As a general manager or as the person who's in charge of that with each major league team, you got to keep an eye on the waiver wire. Right, which guys are passing through, and then you have a certain amount of time to claim a player and to make a deal with that team. But once the player passes through waivers, now the Red Sox have no claim. And sometimes you can claim him just to stop it. Right?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
So if they don't want the Toronto Blue Jays, and it really depends on which day it is, because tomorrow they wouldn't be able to do it. Because tomorrow they'll be ahead of the Blue Jays in the standings.
See, that's
and
what
the
I was
Blue Jays
saying.
Get first claim.
Okay, so there you go.
But that's it doesn't matter now.
But the Orioles could now. It doesn't matter.
Does not matter.
Wouldn't that be interesting, though, if he came? The lineup's already one of the best in baseball. You put him in. Where's he go?
Who's that?
Where's Joey Votto go in this lineup right now?
It doesn't matter.
Correct answer. Correct
it doesn't
answer.
Matter. Wherever you think best. Joey Votto can hit second, third, fourth, fifth. I don't think I want him as low as fifth.
So, there's some big names in that lineup already.
No doubt.
They find a way to make that happen. You're losing Batista, probably, or maybe. You're looking like you're losing Encarnacion. Joey Votto, that'd be a great addition to the team.
All right. How did the Alouettes all of a sudden get it together? The amazing thing about the Montreal Alouettes is that they don't have many victories, but two that they do were absolute clobberings. Go figure. So who the hell are they? And a whole lot more on the CFL. CFL Super Agent coming up, Darren Gill, as we continue with a Wednesday night on Sportsnet Tonight at CFMB AM 1280 in Montreal. Grant with an update in a moment.
Weeknights at 8.
Hi, welcome back to the show. Should be fun tomorrow. We'll be inside our top 10 in the National Football League, and it doesn't matter anymore. It does not matter. Because in Daniel Kalis's top 10, the Oakland Raiders are there. And you know what? That doesn't matter. Now they need to go out on the field and show everybody that they are who he said they were. I had to get that out. All right. Are we ready to go? We're ready to go. We got our CFL super agent. It's Darren Gill because it's Wednesday night. How you doing, Darren?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm excited. All this football, you know, Canadian Football League, and it's starting to get interesting. Got to tell you, for me, if the Owls are not a good team or they're not playing well, it kind of my interest kind of wanes. And I would imagine, you know, fans of the Canadian Football League, they want their home team. It's very important. So last week's game was huge. I don't know what to make of this team.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's a good question. You know, this was a surprising game, to say the least. I mean, you know, could Montreal have won the game? Absolutely. But the way they won it was quite dominating. And I know very humbling for Ottawa. And not that Ottawa walked into that game thinking it was going to be an easy victory, but I certainly thought, that they were a little more confident going in. And Montreal, you know, I think had a great game plan. I mean, one of the key matchups on offense was obviously Nick Lewis against Antoine Pruneau. Montreal tried to take advantage of that as much as they could, using, you know, Lewis's size, to their advantage. Pruneau had a hard time, not necessarily keeping up with him, but taking him down. And, you know, that was, you know, a couple of the things you kept seeing that Montreal just capitalized on that worked very well for them. So it was interesting to see the tactical approach that the offense took, because I felt like it was a great step forward for Anthony and Jock in terms of game planning against a specific team's defense, not just coming out with a good offensive game plan, but actually finding a way to beat a specific team. And I think obviously it worked.
And people don't know what to make of Anthony Calvillo as an offensive coordinator. Sometimes what you do, what you plan for, doesn't work out on the field. Sometimes it you need the personnel to be able to deliver the gift that you've given them. And sometimes maybe you're not the guy, and it's very difficult to make all of this work. And so we don't know, you know, and so here he is. You keep hearing, he's the caretaker, Jim Popp, and he won't let anybody else coach this team because it's going to be Anthony's team. And man, that's a lot of pressure. And I know, you know, Anthony has faced pressure before, but he's hearing some criticism, and that's tough.
It is. And, you know, I think if you look at his progression thus far, I mean, you know, it's been pretty amazing. Not too many guys have progressed as fast as he has. And some of it is because of who he is, obviously. You know, in this town, he's got quite a name. Part of it's what he brings to the team in terms of intelligence. And the other part, too, is opportunity, which is the opportunity was there for him. And I think, you know, there's been a kind of a surge in this league of young coaches getting opportunity. And it happened mainly because a few years back, coaches like Paul Appelese and Kavis Reed were kind of the next wave with Mike Benavides. They all got head coaching jobs and didn't last that long. So as a result, the next wave actually had to develop much faster, where we hadn't really seen that progression. And that, you know, not only bumped coordinators up to being head coaches, but also bumped position coaches up to being coordinators. So you had a lot of guys, whether it be Anthony or Kahari Jones and the like, who frankly probably progressed a little faster than a lot of people thought that they should, just because there takes time to mature. But, you know, as we see the season go on, and obviously it's still pretty young, I think we're seeing Anthony take some strides. So, you know, it's not easy to go from being a player to a coach, but Anthony is showing that I think he's got, you know, the demeanor and also the patience to do it.
All right. This is the strangest thing I've ever seen. We're talking to Darren Gill, our CFL super agent, joins us every Wednesday night on Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price. I'm looking at the standings, and the Calgary Stampeders are the only team in the Canadian Football League with a winning record at home. This is insane. There is no other sport anywhere in the world where you'd look at the standings right now, and there are nine teams, and only one of 11% of the teams in the Canadian Football League have a winning record at home. That's insane.
It is, and it's definitely, I mean, it's un-CFL-like. I mean, most leagues you wouldn't see this in, and obviously in this league you typically see the home team win, and I don't think there's an explanation for it. Frankly, I think it's just been the nature of growing pains is teams have obviously, you know, matured. Montreal has been going through their own growing pains. We've seen Ottawa having some injuries. Toronto's had some injuries. So unfortunately, you know, I think, teams have struggled, you know, not necessarily from I'm at home, I'm away, just because, you know, things are happening. You know, Toronto's a great situation when obviously when they go from Ricky Ray to Logan Kilgore, you know, no matter where you're playing, your game plan is going to change, and so will likely the outcomes. So it's really been a situation where it's more the circumstances rather than the location, I think, that's affecting that. But, you know, I think you'll see that trend turn around as the season progresses and teams get a little bit healthier.
Yeah, and you mentioned Toronto, and there they are in their new park, and I wonder, how important was it for them? And the other teams have losing records, but for them to have a winning record at home, you know, you got the baseball team in a pennant race, you got the soccer team, and this football team needs to win, don't they?
They do, and it's a shame. I mean, even at the start of the season when, you know, when teams essentially all have a shot at winning the Grey Cup, you know, there were circumstances that just didn't allow that team to put seats, some people in the seats. I mean, they had a Wednesday night game. They had, you know, a situation where, you know, the Grand Prix, you know, the Indies in town and part of the streets are blocked off. So I think, you know, this is a team that's trying extremely hard, which they really hadn't been doing in the past. They're spending more marketing dollars than most. They're really trying to get in the community and really build that fan base again. So I think in terms of the effort that they're putting in, you know, I wish they had better results because, you know, this league doesn't necessarily need Toronto to succeed. I think this league could survive without it. But certainly it speaks volumes for this league when its largest city can't field a successful franchise. So I know there's a lot of people, you know, pushing and rooting for Toronto to succeed. And, you know, with the stadium that they have and kind of the ambiance that they have, there's no reason why people shouldn't be going out to watch them. But it's a shame that they really haven't been able to accomplish that so far.
Well, both Ontario teams got some good news this week. Trevor Harris back for Ottawa, Ricky Ray back for Toronto. Which team is more excited to get their quarterback back this week, and it's more important to the Argos or the Red Blacks?
Without a doubt, I mean, the Argos, you know, Ricky Ray is that team's starting quarterback, and certainly, you know, it's clear they need him. In Ottawa's case, you know, I think they're suffering a situation where, you know, they had a bad loss, and they're going to make several changes this week, including, obviously, the quarterback change. You know, they're going to have Antoine Pruneau backing up at the linebacker position. They're going to make some changes on the offensive line. So this is a team that, you know, I don't want to say they hit the panic button after the loss to Montreal, but I think they were pretty close to it. So they're going to make some changes this week. that don't necessarily make a lot of sense. Frankly, if Henry was there last year and Trevor wasn't, they would have kept rolling with Henry, but I think it's a knee-jerk reaction to put Trevor back in. So it'll be interesting to see if, you know, Trevor doesn't play well, well, what do? Do they ride Trevor out because he's the guy, or do they go back to Henry? And I'm not saying this is the wrong way for Henry to go out, because obviously that team needs to win games now, but it's unfortunate to see how, you know, last year the league MOP is being treated, because I really don't think that if you put, you know, that loss on his shoulders, it's really not a fair thing to do.
All right, eight games in, not even halfway. A lot can happen between now and playoff time, but you got two teams. You got Calgary at 6-1-1. You got BC at 5-3, and Calgary absolutely clobbered BC. That's 1-2. I mean, is Calgary that good?
Calgary is that good, and you know they're that good for a few reasons. One is, you know, the locker room that they've built is a solid locker room, almost Ottawa-like with the characters that they have. Offensively, you know, this is a team that's obviously done quite well the last few years. John Huffnagel, you know, obviously stepped, you know, from the sidelines into the front office and let Dave Dickinson, you know, take command of that team. They haven't skipped a beat. And defensively, I think there were some question marks as to how they would, progress, and they're doing quite well under, you know, a pretty young defensive coaching staff. So, I think frankly, this is a team that's just about to hit their stride. Once Bo Levi Mitchell, you know, starts to put a little more zip on the ball and, you know, give the ball to Jerome Messam a few more times, that team's dangerous. But, you know, obviously BC's been surprising, and I don't want to say, you know, that they've been overachieving, because I think if you're a BC Lions fan, or if you're, you know, a BC Lion, you think that team's been doing what they should do. But I think they got off to a quick start that no one else really thought they would. So, they're kind of readjusting right now, and they're going to go through some growing pains with the quarterback that's, you know, still trying to find himself a little bit, but obviously has a ton of potential.
All right, what's the game? If I forced you to watch just one game this week, or if I limited you, I didn't force you. I know you would watch every single game in the Canadian football. If I limited you to one game this week, what would it be?
Yeah, I think it's actually, you know, the game that we have here in town, the Montreal-Winnipeg game, is the game to watch. And obviously, Montreal coming off a very convincing victory over a very good Ottawa team. And Winnipeg's a team that obviously is surprising a lot of people. You know, 2 weeks in, people were wondering, when will Mike O'Shea get fired, right? 3 weeks in, they were wondering, is it now or is it next week? And it was more of, you know, it's not if, it's when. And obviously that story has changed completely. And people are still trying to figure out, you know, are these guys legitimate, or did they get a couple of lucky weeks? But I think, you know, I'm not telling you that's the premier matchup in terms of the two best teams in the league, but in terms of the most intriguing matchup, without a doubt, that's the game of the week.
Always a pleasure, CFL super agent. We'll talk next week.
Thanks. Take care.
Darren Gill talking Canadian Football League, and we are looking forward to Winnipeg and the Alouettes coming up. I'm very afraid.
I feel you.
I know.
I feel you. You
don't,
never know
don't
what
you
these
never
things.
Feel me. Okay, I just want you to know this is never going to happen. All right. It says here, the most interesting wrestling promo in years happened last night, and all I have to do is press play, right, and it'll be on the air. I see Vince McMahon, and I don't. I'm sorry. I'm not a wrestling connoisseur anymore. There was a time way back when I knew the wrestlers. I didn't know who won or lost, other than I love the storyline and the show was terrific. And it was what, Vince McMahon and who's the guy that ended up as the governor of Minnesota? Jesse Ventura, the body.
The body,
that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I love that. I thought the whole interchange there and then the conversation that was great. And I didn't need to watch the wrestling. I could do something else. Just listen to these guys talk nonsense. It was hysterical. Anyways, Vince McMahon is still at it. And so I don't know. What should we do? We'll think about it. Still a little bit of show left. I'm Elliot Price. That's Grant Robinson. Hope you're enjoying the Wednesday night show. Coming up tomorrow, of course, we'll be down to team number 10 in our National Football League countdown. We'll talk hockey with Andrew Berkshire, see what he thinks about the latest with Team Canada. And, you know, what do the other teams have? How does he feel about Team North America? It's a weird thing. I have been pushed in the direction of NFL ready to take on the AFC East. So we'll hear voices from the AFC East tomorrow. Today was the NFC East, Odell Beckham Jr., Ezekiel Elliott, Dak Prescott, Doug Peterson, Sam Bradford, Jay Gruden, Kirk Cousins. If you missed all of those people, you can hear them. And all you have to do is check out our podcast on sportsnet.ca. You'll find it on the website. And everything else we did tonight. When is our podcast usually up? Sometime before midnight? About midnight. So there you go. All right, we'll make a decision on this wrestling thing, and we'll be back in a minute or two.
Sucks. That's right, it sucks.
All right. I think it'd be best to read what it says on what is this website? I don't even know. I hope something doesn't like jump out at us. I don't know. I'm trying to stay out of trouble here. It says, and I read from the story from Stephen Tortillo. Pro wrestling is an act, as many a helpful internet commentator will point out. Below any article about this stuff, it's staged, it's scripted, the evil Russian bad guys, it turns out, are often actually Americans. Those of us who are hooked crave the moments when something might be real, when we can't tell if what we just saw was really in the script. We love those moments when, at the very least, fact and fiction have momentarily found themselves on the same page. There was one of those, one of the best in years, during an online WWE post-game show Tuesday night. For about 3 mesmerizing minutes, a perennial hated wrestler, The Miz, verbally thrashed one of the most beloved pro wrestlers of all time, Daniel Bryan. I want you to know, I don't know who either one of these guys are. By the next morning, the conventional wisdom online was that the bad guy was in the right. Could that have been what they planned? Did they really mean to go there? I feel like it's a Batman episode. Did WWE really air an argument about the impact that a wrestler's in-ring style has on their health and make the guy who had to retire because of an apparent brain injury lose the debate? All right, let's listen to as much as we can before we get in trouble.
There's no gentle way to say it to me. You wrestle like a coward. You wrestle like somebody who's afraid to get hit.
Like, I wrestle like a coward.
You wrestle like a coward.
I'm the one.
If I were to create a wrestler who, to me, like embodies, like when I was an independent guy and I was thinking like, oh, okay, what's the soft WWE style? It would be that. WWE is transformed in the last.
Hold on. You had your chance to talk. You're the one that called me a coward in the wrestling ring. I'm the coward in the wrestling ring.
Yeah.
But let's talk about cowards for 1 second. Okay. The reason I wrestle the way I wrestle is because I can do it day in and day out all the time for 10+ years. I have never in my career ever have been injured. I don't get injured for 6 months to a year. I am here each and every week. But you sit there and call me a coward? Yeah. I'm the coward? Wait, let me tell you about a coward. Let me tell you about a guy who tells his WWE fans, the people that he loves, that he will be back. He promises them. I promise you, I will be back in 1 year's time to claim this title. But you didn't, Daniel, did you? But I'm the coward. Okay, I'm the one that doesn't love the fans.
If they would let me come back, I would come back.
Oh, if you would? Yeah. You would. You love that WWE ring. You love being wrestling. You love being right in that wrestling ring, and you love wrestling, right? Well, why don't you quit? Why don't you quit and go to the bingo halls with your indie
okay,
friends?
Okay, I think you
then,
need to
huh?
calm. No, that's not, no, what, this, that's not this. What this show's
me
about.
And the GM have this. Thank you very much, Renee. This is a great show, but we're talking here. I need to talk to you real quick, because the fact is, you're the one that calls me the coward, but you're the one that doesn't get in the WWE ring again. No, don't you walk away from me, Daniel. Don't you walk away.
Just he got up and walked away.
Nothing on Conor McGregor.
There's still like 50 seconds left. I'm just saying. Was that good?
He was very very intense about that. I think Brian hit a nerve from what I heard there. You know, you don't get react that much if there's no somewhat truth to it.
We really need Periscope for this. All right. That was fun. You like Rutty?
I loved it as a kid. Yeah. Like I said, I'm listening to that, and The Miz, who was apparently, I guess, whatever he was, popular enough to still be around for 10 years. Yeah. He's gone on to make some movies called The Marine 3 and 4, which I've never seen. I've saw one of them.
The
what
Marine
was
the
made
Marine
with John Cena. Well, John Cena
did
was
they start
the Marine
with the
1.
Marine 3?
And it was good. Like, John Cena did it and was, well, good for a wrestling movie, right? Which means garbage, but decent. The Miz was in one. I had no idea who he was and watched it. It was one of the most, one of the worst movies I've ever seen. When I was growing up, it was Stone Cold Steve Austin, who is still the man, as far as I'm concerned, and The Rock, who, look at his career now, what he's doing. Pretty much any blockbuster, he's in it, so.
Trying to remember. I wasn't a kid, right? When I was a kid, it was local, right? It was local, and they filled up. We went to Jarry Park, and they filled the place. You know, it was Edward Carpanche with the tumblers and all of those. Dino Brito and Dino Bravo, and oh, absolutely, yeah. And the Rougeos. And then it got big, right? And it got big North American-wise. And there was, what, the Honky Tonk Man and Junkyard Dog and Macho Randy, Macho Man Savage. I loved him. Yeah, yeah, good stuff. Anyway, so there you go. If you're a wrestling fan, you have been treated to something you won't hear a lot of here. I'm just telling you, came across it, and so it was yours. We'd like to thank our guests who joined us tonight. Elias Makos, thank you very much. Daniel Kalis, our football guy who's been counting them down from the beginning to the end. He's got 10 teams left to take care of in the National Football League. We thank CFL super agent Darren Gill, and we thank the National Football League, NFL.com, and all of their teams who allow us to use their stuff, their voice, on our show. And we'll be back tomorrow. Hope you'll join us if you missed it. Again, you can catch the podcast on sportsnet.ca. I'm Elliot Price. That's Grant Robinson. That's Freddie Iuni. And you are?
Call me Alex.
Call me Alex. Putting it all together tonight, and we'll see you tomorrow.